Leasehold to freehold. Lots of changes are coming our way, so let's get up to date with them all, shall we?
Whether you're at the beginning of your property journey, looking to enter the market, or a seasoned professional seeking new strategies and insights, this podcast is your one-stop resource for all things property investment. Welcome to the Property Investors Network podcast. Let's embark on this exciting journey together and make your property investment dreams a reality.
Hello, my name is Mark Fitzgerald, and it's great to have you joining me here today. So last year, the government announced that a leasehold to freehold was going to be changing. You see, the government has put some changes into the law, or is at the moment in the cycle of doing so. It has to go through quite a few different procedures through different parts of Parliament before it can actually get put into place. But at the moment, this is what they told us they are working towards. They want to make it easier and cheaper for leaseholders to buy the freehold for their homes. The bill will increase standard lease extension terms to 990 years for houses and flats and provide greater transparency for the service charges that a lot of people are putting on. You see, when you buy a property that is a leasehold property, you have to pay a ground rent to the actual freeholder. Now, that can be as little as a peppercorn. It can be as little as a pound, but most of the time it can be quite a lot. And of course, if you live in flats or you have blocks of flats, you might not own the main building. You may only own the lease on the flat that is in the building. And of course, sometimes people buy those at about a 99-year lease. Sometimes those leases have already come down. And of course, any lease that's under about 80 years, you're going to struggle to get a mortgage on. Now, sometimes it can be very, very expensive as well to add years on the lease, which is why freeholders have said, well, you can buy 50 years, you can buy, you know, this and that. But now, obviously, with it being able to change to 990 years, a lease really isn't going to be a massive, massive problem for anybody. But of course, it is also about the price that it's going to cost you to get a lease of that length. Okay. They're looking at rebalancing the legal costs and, of course, removing the barriers for freeholders to challenge their landlords for unreasonable costs. So we need to be mindful of this. We need to be careful of this. But also, as property investors who are looking to buy properties, this can be a very, very good thing for us, you see, because the new powers will help more leaseholders take over the management of their properties if they wish to. So instead of being stuck with the freeholder's management choice, it will also make the process cheaper. The government will bring forward further reforms that will extend access to the redress scheme and make it easier and cheaper to get the information needed to sell a leasehold home. Okay, so people can block things. People are difficult to track down and get hold of. So with these new reform bills coming in, it should help leaseholders. It should help properties that are currently leasehold properties to be purchased, to be sold, and also to obviously do the deals that they want to do. Some of the key points for the bill are making it cheaper and easier for people to extend their leases or buy the freehold. So leaseholders pay less to have more security on their homes. Of course, increasing the standard lease extension term to 990 years for a house or a flat so leaseholders can enjoy security ownership without the hassle and expense in the future over lease extensions. And that can be a big thing. I remember I had a house once that was a freehold house, but the garage was actually under next door's house. So I had that as a lease. That was a leasehold garage. And I had to pay a surcharge on that, or a ground rent, should I say, on that each and every year. When I came to sell the property, the solicitor's firm that we were using actually got a little bit confused and couldn't work out whether the house was supposed to be a leasehold house and garage or that it was separate. But luckily, because it was the same, the other side of us, the solicitors there, we actually got in contact with, and they spoke to our solicitors to tell them this is what they'd already done. And that's where your expenses can go up, you see, because if solicitors obviously have to do more digging, have to find out more things, then costs can go up on that. So by making it more transparent, we should be able to reduce those costs and help everybody who is looking or getting involved with leaseholds. So as landlords, I always say as investors, we have to be the property professionals in our area. So we need to know these things. Also, they're going to be making buying and selling a leasehold property quicker and easier by setting a maximum time and fee for home buyers and sellers information. So if you need to share information or you need to get hold of information, it should be a lot more forthcoming because there will be a maximum time frame to you actually share that. So that should help people that are looking to do these sorts of deals. And also it'll help you if you've got a freehold property or a leasehold property, should I say, and you're looking to sell it or something. We're also looking at granting homeowners on private and mixed tenure estates comprehensive rights so that they receive more information about what charges they pay and the ability to challenge unreasonable charges as well. So if you, again, are in a block of flats and maybe the management fee for the building, sometimes those charges can really start to spiral up and up and up. Each year they seem to go up. Service charge rates for looking after the building and things. Of course, you should, if you live in that property, at least have a breakdown of why those charges are what they are and if they're going to go up, why they're going up. Because buildings will become older. So we have to be realistic about this. But a lot of the time people are in the dark. They just see these charges going up and up and up. And sometimes there are investors or landlords out there that are just doing it to make more money. Sometimes there is a genuine reason for this. Because as I say, the building could be getting older, it could need more work and things. So I think by being transparent with what's going on in the building and things, it just makes it better for everybody. So with this and all these changes coming through, will the government look to abolish leaseholds? Well, the short answer to that is at the moment is no. You've got to imagine there are thousands and thousands of properties out there at the moment that are leasehold properties. I think that the government and everybody are trying to make sure that it is a more polished system, that it works and flows a lot better. Because whilst very exciting and positive for a lot of leasehold property owners, it is a bit of an odd statement, to be quite honest with you, because the government have been, you know, setting out proposals to reform leaseholding, not scrap it, for a long, long time. Equally, there are millions of leaseholders, as I say, contracts out there, and it would not be easy to abolish leaseholds altogether. So I think they're just trying to work towards making sure that it's a smoother transition, making sure that it's easier for people as well, because some people will be put off buying leasehold properties. I know a lot of property investors do not like to buy a leasehold property. They want the freehold. They want to own everything about that property, and that is right. And that's what's put a lot of people off, you know, investing in flats or anything like that. So I think it's quite good to actually have a ground in there, to actually have some rules set out. How it affects a lot of, you know, leaseholders that are in maybe negative equity when it comes to their leases that are under, you know, 80 years, 60 years. Some of them may be finding it difficult to sell their properties at the moment. It'll be quite good to see how that transitions and see if it does help people that are in those sort of boats, because, you know, you can't get a mortgage on it. Properties that are in that. And if somebody's in that situation, needs to sell their property, they're looking for a cash buyer. Can't always get a cash buyer. And of course, if you don't know how much the lease is going to cost, why would you, as a cash buyer, go in and buy that property? If it's also difficult to find that out, it makes it not a deal. So you don't help the people that are trying to sell it and get a good investment property for yourself. It can be very, very difficult to go along those lines. So I think with the changes that are coming through, it's a good thing. A lot of people look at change and they say, it's not a good thing, all this change and everything like that. But I don't think it's a massive, massive headache or a problem. You still, if you're looking at buying freehold properties and converting them or title splitting those properties, you can still do this. I think having these guidelines here to work by is not going to be a bad thing as well. Because at the end of the day, we always want to be looking to do a win-win with whatever we're doing. Whether we're buying properties off of a motivated seller, whether we're working with a landlord taking on their properties, whoever we're working with, we want to make sure that it's a win-win for all parties. We never want to be taking advantage of anybody like that or anybody in a situation that could be a difficult situation. So we have to just make sure that when we're looking at these things, that we're vigilant of them. So mainly, the people that are going to benefit from this are the leaseholders themselves being able to extend their leases for purchasing their freeholds. Their professional fees could also drop considerably as well. So like solicitors' fees, the way things are done, it could actually be so much more cost effective for leasehold property owners. And I know there's a lot of them out there as well. So I just wanted to touch base on this. Obviously, title splitting, freehold to leasehold strategies and things are still very, very good. Title splitting is still very, very good. But I do think as well that some investors might actually think to themselves now, maybe I will invest in leasehold properties with these new regulations coming into place. There's still going to be a lot of backlog, a lot of properties that need help. And I'm interested to see how this bill that they put in actually performs and whether everything that they're proposing gets through, because that is the other thing. Not everything always gets sanctioned. These bills have to go through, as I said at the beginning, a lot of different procedures before they actually go and get signed off properly. So let's see what happens with that one. And if you're a leasehold landlord or investor, then I'm sure you'll be there with bated breath. So I hope this episode's helped you. Please do check out PIN Further Learning for any of our free masterclass sessions. Make sure you book on and visit your local PIN meeting for a bit of property networking, and I'll see you all again very, very soon. Take care and bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Property Investors Network podcast. Remember, investing in property is not just about numbers and profits, but also about building communities and creating a lasting impact. You can do this by checking out our website at pinfurtherlearning.co.uk. And of course, look to book onto your local Property Investors Networking event. We are here to help and support you every step of the way, and I look forward to you joining me very soon. Bye for now.